Would James chapter number one, James chapter number one. And I mentioned in my prayer, but I want to mention it as well. I told Brother Porter that I would mention it. I talked to him today. He's been struggling with some things, but he says he felt like he was maybe getting a kidney stone. He's got some stones that, and one may be moving, and he asked the church to pray, especially that wouldn't happen while he's trying to deal with other issues that he's going through with the. And any of you, like I said, anybody who's ever dealt with anyone who's gone through open heart surgery, especially the first couple weeks, are really tough to go through. And so do lift them up in prayer if you would. Look, if you would, in James chapter 1, in verse, begin reading with me, if you would, in verse number 17. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, who is of no variance, neither shadow of turning. Now, let me stop right there and say this. God created all the heavens, the stars, the moon, and all that, all the lights that we have. God is the creator of those things. Also, the Bible tells us that as much as we depend upon them, God is much more dependable, because they're is nothing that he varies in. He doesn't change at all. Also, it lets us know that every good gift that we have, everything good in our life, is because of God. Sometimes I've asked you, I said, has God been good to you? Is there things in your life that you would consider that God's been awfully good things that he's given you? And if you say, yeah, I've got a lot, well, every one of those come from God. And so therefore, we deserve and he deserves the praise, and we are expected to give him the praise because of his goodness to us. The Bible also tells us in Romans 2:4 that his goodness should work repentance in our life. Look in verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now again, you've got to go back. This is not talking about the first fruits of the resurrection that we've been teaching on. It's talking about the first fruits of his creatures. In other words, from what I gather of this, we, those of us who've been born again, saved, will be the first fruits. And then after, when God creates a new heaven, new earth, and all those things, and when his kingdom comes in and all those things take place, then the Bible says the whole earth travaileth to get out from under the curse that was placed upon it. Thorns and thistles and the animals and all those things. And somebody said, will those things be in eternity? I assume that they will be. The earth will have certain things, and the animal life will be here on the earth. I don't know exactly how it will work. I do know in the reign of Christ, the Bible tells us that the lambs and the lions will lay down together, and different things along those lines. But let's look on. Verse number 19, and of course, remember that we have been begotten. We've been born into his family. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now remember, this is written to Christian people. And notice what it says. Brethren, we are to be swift to what? Hear. We are to be slow to what? And we are to be slow to? Wrath. That means getting angry. Okay, now look on. He says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. In other words, it goes directly against. I had a couple referees. We had some ball games last night. Had a couple referees sitting talking to me, and they just brought up someone. They said, I don't have any confidence at all in that person at all. They just always angry. They get angry. They lose their temper. They lose their Pay attention, all you little ones. Let's go. Pay attention up here. Let's go. They lose their temper. They lose their, and he said, they're always saying angry things and doing angry things and losing. And said, we don't have any confidence. Now, listen to me a minute. You're not ever winning anybody by telling them off. You'll never win anybody by biting their heads off. You'll never win anybody by belittling them. You're not going to win people that way. And talking about everybody. And so the Bible says here that we are to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. In verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness. When you study that word filthiness there, it means having your ears full of like wax where you don't hear what you need to be hearing. There's people that comes to church all the time that hears but they don't hear. When you hear something and it doesn't matter what you hear and you're not going to change in any form or fashion, you're not hearing it. You're not receiving it. You may be hearing it, but you're not receiving it. Look on. He says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Superfluity. My tongue, my brain, my tongue's getting ahead of my brain, or my brain's getting ahead of behind my tongue. One, I don't know which one. Superfluity of naughtiness means allowing your past actions before you got saved to come and reign in your life. It's allowing the wickedness that you experienced and some of the things in your natural life. Now notice this, and it says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now you got to remember your souls here that it's talking about is your mind, the way you think. Your soul that it's talking about is talking about your will, your peace, your affections. Now, remember, he's talking to save people. He's not talking about salvation of their soul in that sense. It's talking about the things that will save you from being destroyed as a Christian. You follow me? Now stay with me a minute, and I'll get back to that. He says in verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. What? If you hear it and you don't do it, then you deceive your own selves. It says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, straightway forgetting what manner of man he was. Now, let me use an illustration. I'll use it on myself. Sometimes I get up a morning, had a hard night, wrestled, turned. I get up in the morning and I look in the mirror, my hair sticking this way, my hair sticking that way, and I am ugly. I mean, I am ugly. It's scary ugly. But I've got nothing to do that day, so I may throw on two things that don't even match. I may throw on something that, and some of you may have come and caught me in some of them garbs before. Whatever is comfortable usually is what I throw on. And when I'm just going to work around the house, it's all fine and good until somebody knocks on the door and I forget what I look like. And then I go to the door and they take a couple steps backwards. The Bible says that's what we are when we don't allow the Word of God to come into us and receive the Word of God with meekness. Meekness means to be submissive to it. What happens is this, we're just like a man, we see ourselves, and you may sit here and say, amen, preacher, that hit me all over, and then go out here and just do exactly what you've been doing. He said, then you're just like a man that looks at yourself, you see what you are, and you don't do a thing about it, and you just leave yourself looking just that way. Now, most of the time I've learned any more, the first thing I do when I look like that is throw a cap on. That helps me a little bit. But anyway, in verse 25, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he is being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. In other words, he realizes that God has given us liberty through seeing the law and seeing what grace has brought out of the law and what God has done in the salvation, realizing how good God's been, being born again and all those things. It ought to make us react differently to the word. Now notice the next two verses, and I want to bring a thought or two on this. It says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fathers and widows, and in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Tonight I want to give you a thought about two types of religion. Now most of the time when we talk about religion, it's a bad thing. Some people says, well, America is as religious as it's ever been. That's probably true. But we don't need religion. What separated America in the early years to what separates it now is not religion, it's salvation. Religion, you can be religious and lost. It was a religious crowd that nailed Jesus to the cross. And so James here deals with those who seem to be religious. And I want to talk about those who are superficial and those who are supernatural. Some people are superficial. What's superficial religion? Just on the outside, nothing in the heart. You know, and the sad part about it is, the thing that makes me so mad is seeing just even right now what our president's trying to do with places like Iran that's been such sponsors of terror. And of course, they say that we are the terrorists. But the point is, we don't want, we never desire, and we never look to shed innocent blood. And we're always willing to step up and help and try to look and find peace when possible. And so in doing those things, we have people even in this own country, in our own government, that puts us on the same level as nations like Iran. If they could blow up an American plane and get by with it and kill 200, 400, 600 people, they'd do it today. And they wouldn't even lose any sleep tonight. Religion is on the outside. Salvation is on the inside. Superficial religion, I put this, lacks reality. There's nothing real about it. It come and go. You say, well, boy, they're consecrated on their task and so forth. But usually, most religion that has such fundamentals is so full of hate. They kill. They kill people. Murder people. And the Bible says that it's an illusion. They deceive themselves. It's not real. The Bible teaches us that we ought to know that we are saved. The difference between religion and true religion is Jesus. He's the thing that separates. Some people try to say we all have the same Father. God is the Father of all mankind. That's not true. He's a creator. But there's only one way to be a father. The Bible says until you get saved, your father is the devil. You say, I don't like that. I didn't like it either. I still don't like it, but that's true. But the Bible says to have him as our heavenly Father, we must have Jesus. The Bible says, to as many as received Jesus, to them gave you power to become the sons of God. You want to become a son of God? You've got to be saved. You've got to be born again. Religion, pure or superficial religion, lacks reality. Not only that, they lack restraint. The Bible teaches that we that are saved, we ought to have praise for God. We ought to worship God. Ought to say good things. We shouldn't be criticizing, cursing. We shouldn't be complaining, lying, and doing all those things. Bible says out of the heart proceeds those things out of your mouth. Did you ever see someone? I used to know a guy. He used to preach some, or say he was called to preach some, and get him away from the church, and he had the filthiest, cursingest mouth. All kinds of vile, ugly jokes. I mean, wicked jokes. And just nasty language. And I asked him one time, I said, do you understand how you come off? Who would ever want to come and hear you preach with that coming out of your mouth? And he started making, I said, I'd be questioning a lot of things if I had that all coming out of my mouth, because the Bible says your heart is what deals with what comes out of your mouth. And if that's what proceeds out of your mouth every time you get away from the church house, I'd be checking on my heart. What kind of heart do you have? Knowing that, it lacks results. The Bible says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is what? It means to be empty, fruitless, bear no fruit. You wonder why some people never has any influence? You ever seen somebody who's claimed to be saved all their life and they don't even have any influence on nobody? Nobody they work at? I've had some people, sometimes I've mentioned somebody, that they'll mention, I said, yeah, that person, I said, they've come to church. I didn't know they went to church. Had no idea they even come to church. The Bible says superficial religion. It's vain, it's empty, it's fruitless. You need to think about its outward expression. Now, you need to be careful because there's a lot of people deceiving themselves. Hell's going to be full of people that was on church rolls. Hell's going to be full of people that's been baptized. Hell's going to have a lot of people that's been members of church and probably taught Sunday school and preached from the pulpits. It's going to have them. You know what they had? Superficial. Outside only. The difference between what made this country great in establishing this country, they had something inside. Keep your finger there a moment and turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter number 8. I've showed you this, but I want to show you again before I get on this next verse real quickly. Romans chapter 8. The Bible says in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now notice if you would back in verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, and if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is what? Okay, you can't be saved without the Spirit of God. You hear me? Now notice in verse 14, as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In other words, God will direct you to do certain things in your life. Now listen to me a minute. You can't be changed, you can't be saved unless you're changed. Nobody has ever in the Bible ever got saved that it didn't change their lives to some degree in certain areas of their life. If you can't go back to a time when you were born again, the second birth ought to be as prominent to you, and sometimes even more so than the first birth. Now, I don't remember when I was first born, but I don't think I ever will forget the day when I was born again. It's prominent to me. I remember Sister Redmond. You remember Sister Redmond, Terry? that went to Celine, and I remember visiting her. And she got where she had dementia to the degree that she didn't know anything or anybody. But I visited her in the nursing home, and she would always remember when she met the Lord. She knew when she got saved. She knew where it was at. Sometimes I'd ask Chris's mom for 10 years, 10 or 12 years, she experienced dementia. And I'd ask her, she didn't know who Chris was. But I asked her about when she got saved. She'd take me back to the time and place she got saved. I don't believe, now listen to me, I believe when you have supernatural religion, I don't believe you ever forget that day. I believe you remember where I was at. Look, if you would, in verse 15, chapter 8 of Romans. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Abba, Father. You see, not only does the Spirit of God lead us to do things outwardly, it leads us to look upwardly to God, to worship Him, to praise Him, to do certain things to God, to pray to Him. Now listen a minute. You know what salvation is? Salvation is when God's grace reaches down and meets our faith reaching up. And the moment that our faith and God's grace meet, that is when it saves our soul. Look, if you would, in verse 16. The Bible says the Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In other words, not only outwardly it will show we're children of God, upwardly it will show that we worship God, but also inwardly. His Spirit witnesses our spirit. Now look, if you would, back in verse 27, James chapter number 1. Supernatural. What does it mean to be born again supernaturally? Born from above, saved. Pure religion, undefiled before God the Father, is this. First of all, it recognizes God. It reaches up to God. You have to do that. There's one way to God. That's Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. And so James chapter 1, verse number 18 over there said that of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. In other words, we were saved by the word of truth, by believing in it. So, remember Nicodemus, when he came to Jesus, and Jesus was telling him he must be born again, Nicodemus was a religious man. He was a superficial, outward religious man. He wasn't one supernaturally inwardly. Look, if you would, in verse 27. Pure religion undefiled before God and Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So, not only do we recognize God and the Father in things that we do, but the second thing we do is we reach out outwardly. We have hearts of compassion. Somebody said, well, is it the widows and orphans only? No, but it's showing us that we ought to have a ministry. We ought to have a heart. We ought to have compassion. Listen, I preached the other day about the body and the head, but let me say this. The only hands that Jesus has, look here. Let me have your hand a minute. This is Jesus' hand. These are Jesus' hands. Those are his hands. The only mouth, right here. The only feet. Now, if I'm his, I'm to be using my hands, my feet, my mouth, my ears. I'm to be using my eyes for him. The world only knows of Jesus in what they see in us. Supernatural, listen to me, supernatural religion, the good kind, makes you want to do something to help other people. Makes you want to reach out. Have compassion. Listen, the Good Samaritan taught us three groups of people. One is the thieves that fell on the guy. They are always a group of people looking to prey on people. I never seen I never seen such a spirit of preying upon people and trying to con. And by the way, when you lie and con to get money, you're preying on people. Right. And they prey on elderly. I had to tell Chris's mom and dad, they got solicitations. I mean, hundreds over the phone. And I finally told them, I said, don't send no checks to nobody. Anybody that wants money, let me call them back. Don't give nobody no money for nothing. People preys on elderly. They prey on simple-minded. I remember Chris had an aunt, and she adopted a boy that had cerebral palsy, and he was able to get to the point where he lived by himself, but everybody learned he had a check coming in. And even today, you look, he's walking around, his old clothes is just nasty. The reason why is everybody's learned that when he gets his check, they all come over there and he's their best buddy because they're able to con him out of his money. They prey on him. People comes around, they pray, they take things, they steal, they kill. I mean, you, in these urban cities, they'll kill you over a pair of shoes and never lose a day's sleep over it. They'll rob you and steal everything you got and don't care a bit. There's the praying. Then there's those that are like the priest and the Levite. They just don't care. They're like a ostrich. They put their head in the sand and pretend like nothing's going on. Then there's like the Good Samaritan that cares and has compassion. We are to have compassion. When we have something inside, it changes us. Brother, and look here. Even people, I don't like what the Iranian government does, but I don't desire to see Iranians killed. You know one thing? Sometimes the president says some things that just kind of curls me up sometimes. But it spoke volumes when he could have retaliated years ago, or some time ago, for something that they did. And because it was going to kill 150 people, he chose not to. And he could have done it just like that and been justified in what he did. But you know what? People who are saved ought to have compassion on what you say, what you do, ought to be able to control your tongue. And last but not least, it says that keep yourself unspotted from the world. In other words, inwardly. The world's it's not talking about just people, it's talking about the ungodly system that we live in. The one that in James chapter 4, he talks about in verse 4, that we are not to be friends, that people that's the world cannot be friends. It's enmity with God. It's the enemy of God. And so therefore, what I wanted you to understand is this. There is a superficial religion. A lot of people have got it that's outwardly. But the only kind that's going to count is a supernatural religion. And listen, if you've got the supernatural religion, it ought to change you. You ought to know that you've got it. And you ought to know when you got it. And you ought to be able to tell a difference since it's been there. Amen. And I hope you've got it tonight, but maybe you don't. Maybe God's still in your heart and you need to come. Why don't you come and let God have his way as we stand and give a song of invitation. You got something, Jesse, we can sing?